Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
I said, God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I went away this week, and it was good that I did. It was led last minute. It was really last minute. In fact, Saturday morning, I decided that, and I talked to my wife, and she had it on her heart as well. And so by Monday morning, I was, or Monday afternoon, I was flying to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it was a quick, but they had a plane, they had a space for me on the plane, glory to God, and they had a place for me in the hotel, praise the Lord. But you know, I went there by the direction of the Lord, and you know, when we do things by the direction of God, there's things in that, and of course, there was things in that for our church. I brought back some things with me, and Sue, I think, just got a little bit of it, hallelujah, and you know, there's God's doing some amazing things, and he wants to do some more amazing things. And just to let you know, I was with Reverend Greer, who was here Friday night. He had a spring prayer seminar in Tulsa, and so I got to go. And then when I was there, I got to explore a little bit when I had some downtime. And so I you know, Tulsa is sometimes called the Jerusalem of the United States. It's kind of the Mecca for churches, you know. I guess Mecca might not be the best, but it was a hub, you know, because I think isn't Mecca a Muslim thing or something like that? But, but you know, it's the hub for, it's the Jerusalem, yeah. Right? That's what Mecca is to the Muslims, Jerusalem is to the Jews and Christians, amen? Well, praise the Lord. I'm just talking here for a minute. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to take a sip of water, too. I'll narrate everything I'm doing. Praise the Lord. But anyways, it was, you know, there's a lot that's happened in Tulsa. There's a lot that's happening there. Praise God. There's churches galore. I mean, you cannot imagine how many churches. And I'm not talking little churches. I'm talking big churches. We went to Rhema. I was outside of Rhema. I didn't go in. I just decided not to. But I went outside Rhema and the building for Rhema. Rhema is the that was the ministry that Kenneth E. Hagin built, and he's the one that our ministry is basically founded on. I mean, you could say obviously the Word of God, but it was the revelation that he had from the Lord. Amen? The Word of Faith movement. And so I went there to see that, and it was amazing. I mean, this building is, if you know, the only thing I can think to compare it to is like the ice rink in Jamestown. If you've ever seen that, probably at least twice the size of that, if not bigger, and that's just one church like that, praise the Lord. And then I got to go around, spend a little bit of time on Oral Roberts University and walk the grounds a little bit there, and they have this prayer tower, and I went up into that, and you know, it was just really interesting to me. I got to go to Brother Hagin's grave, and I spent some time there worshiping him. That's just a joke, praise the Lord. But I got to spend some time there, and that was the closest I ever got to Brother Hagin, so I was excited about that, you know. And there was a lot of, but there, the meetings obviously were wonderful, and I downloaded a lot of what I needed in a lot of direction for the church, amen. And of course, that will come out in as we preach. I don't have to go exactly and talk about what happened there, but the things that we download. And just the reason I bring that up is because several times a year I do go away to these offsite meetings, and there's purpose behind that. You know, it's important because what I get downloaded, praise the Lord, is what I download, amen, into you. And so when that's how the Spirit of the Lord moves. And so we're thankful for it. Praise the Lord. We're excited for what he's doing. But I'm just telling you, as I was standing here and now several times, the reason I say all this is to kind of bring up part of what I'm about to say is that there's been several times where I've been in service and I started seeing over somewhere into somewhere else. Praise God. I started seeing, I haven't always been able to articulate it yet, but I started seeing that today, and I got a little bit more of the piece of the puzzle, I believe, as I was in prayer there. And, you know, actually what I was seeing was some of what had happened there. You know, as I was thinking about, as I was walking around Oral Roberts University, you know, there was such a sense of peace there. And I really, not that we, you know, we don't worship people or we don't worship buildings or grounds or anything like that. But what we do know is that when the Spirit of the Lord is present, You know, and I'm not saying that I don't know everything that's taught there or whatever. I'm not saying everything is right, but I know the foundation of it. Amen. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's going to be peace, because that's what the Bible tells us. So that's why it's important to get around that. And that's why people will sense that, even if they come into a building where there's, where the Spirit of the Lord has been. Amen. One time when I worked in the Jamestown Church, I went in to my morning shift. I was the first one there, and I went into the church, and as soon as I walked in, I knew it. But I was like, and when Stephanie got there, she was the office manager at the time, I said, "You guys were here praying last night, weren't you?" And she said, "Yes, we were." Now, see, I had no natural way of knowing that, but when I walked in, I could sense the presence of God. And then, so, you know, it's important. So praise the Lord. But tonight I'm going to teach a message that I wasn't going to teach 5 minutes ago. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe 10 minutes ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. But when I got here, at any rate, I was going to preach a different message than I'm going to preach now. Glory to God. So God has got some good things for us. And the name of the message is, "What Will You Do With It?" Praise the Lord. You know, part of the Friday services, now we will flow more in the things of the Spirit, in the sense of we'll tend to see more manifestations of the Spirit on Friday nights. We give ourselves more to that because it's more of a believer's meeting. We don't want to scare away the new people, amen. You know, you got somebody that just comes in off the street, and all of a sudden you start Holy Ghost running or something like that, and they don't necessarily know what that's all about. So, but that's right and good. You know, the Bible talks about that we don't, because they'll say that you're mad. Yeah. It says in Corinthians, First Corinthians 14 in that chapter. I believe it was in that chapter, but if not, well, it's around there. Amen. But at any rate, you know, so, but we don't want to neglect the word ever. We love the flow of the Spirit, and the flow of the Spirit is a wonderful thing. And I've seen a lot of people that know the flow of the Spirit. But see, the problem is if you don't balance the flow of the Spirit out with the Word, then you get off, you get goofy, and you get away from what God intended. And that's why it's very important that we can move with the flow of the Lord, but we're going to do it as He leads, amen? I'm not going to try to drum something up. I'm not going to try to make me, make me feel or make you feel something. You know, if you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. Praise the Lord. But we're after the truth. We're after what's real. Because the thing is this church was built on what's real, and that's why lives have gotten changed. And if we don't build on a firm foundation of what's real, and we start trying to make stuff happen just because we want to perform or whatever, then we're not going to have the results, amen? The lives won't be changed. You know, and the thing you got to remember about the Lord is that God is not a quick fix God. He's not a quick, and when I mean quick fix, I don't mean just fixing things quick, but giving you a quick jolt and not, you know, God wants to build you over time. He builds faith over time. We obtain things through faith and patience, the Bible tells us. And so we have to understand that when we get into a mess, a lot of times we want God to change it right now. But I'm going to tell you right now, I've very rarely found where God changes it right now, no matter how desperate the situation is. Because the problem is in the desperation. The problem is not trusting in the Lord. See, if we trust in the Lord, there would be no desperation. Yeah. If we truly trust in God, there would be no matter how bad it looks. Even if you completely screwed up, you're like, no, there's no desperation. Why? Because I'm trusting in God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about change before we start. You know, sometimes we're going to change things. We just change the Sunday night services, you know, and we just change the beginning flow of the Friday night services, you know. And, you know, change isn't a bad thing. A lot of times Christians don't like change. But the reason we change things up, one of the reasons why I believe the Lord changes things up, because we do things led by the Lord, but the reason that He changes things up is because people get stale otherwise. I see people get religious. You want to know how religion is formed? I'm going to tell you how denominations are formed right now. It's because they had some move of God, and then they said, well, this is the way it's got to happen then. And so they always go back to that. They always go back to what they knew. They always go back to that same thing. They never press on into the things of God. They're not wanting to be led by God. They want to hold on to what they know or what they see. And that's why it also dissipates. See, God's power is never meant to dissipate. God's power was never meant to leave us. But it's supposed to grow with us. We're supposed to grow and grow in God's power. And not that God's power is going to grow anymore, but it'll grow in us. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So that's why I believe the Lord wants change. So if you don't like change, well, praise the Lord. You're going to have to either get used to it or you're going to have to go somewhere that doesn't change. Praise God. But we want what God wants. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 4:16, we're going to start. I want to open this up, and I want to talk to you about a vision that I had. I believe this was before we started the church here. I was praying in my living room in Jamestown, and I love how Reverend Greer says, he always goes back to, he's like, so if you want the vision, then you have to go to Jamestown. You would have to go to that the house I was in the living room I was in, and you have to go to the couch and lean on the couch that I was leaning on, and then you have to pray. You have to pray a certain way, and then that's how you'll have the vision. But see, that's how a lot of people think, and that goes back to what I was talking about. But I just get a kick out of that, because every time he says that, you know, people think he's just trying to be funny, but he's not just being funny. He's actually pointing out something very spiritual, amen? But I had this vision, at any rate. You know, there's going to be some teaching sometimes in this, and so we're going to grab those bits and pieces, amen? So anyways, I had this vision. As I was sitting there praying, I wasn't seeking a vision, I was seeking the Lord, and as I was sitting there praying, all of a sudden, I saw myself standing. I didn't move. I wasn't translated, but I saw myself standing at the bottom of South Erie Street, looking up Erie Street. And as I was looking up, the sun was going down, and there was great contrast in the sky. I could see that there were storm clouds in the sky, but the sun was kind of breaking through, but it was setting at the same time. And I knew in the vision, when I saw that, I knew that it was the end of something and it was the beginning of something. That's what I sensed. Amen. Now, the Lord will always confirm if he does anything, if he shows you anything, if he talks to you about anything, he's always going to confirm it with the word. Always. If there's something that the Lord will show you, it will always line up with a principle or an idea already established in the word. If he doesn't, then you can't hold on to it. Again, this is where people get off, because they'll say, well, this is how I felt. This is how I felt. This is how I see. But see, the thing is God doesn't care how you feel. He cares about what the word says. God will not lead separate from his word. I said God will not lead separate from his word. He never will. He never has. And he isn't going to start. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God does not change. He said it himself. He doesn't change. I am the Lord. I do not change. Why don't Christians understand that? I am the Lord, he says, I do not change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. What does that mean? It means he doesn't change. He does things the same way. Praise God. You know, a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of the manifestations over the years, you know, Jesus coming was planned before, from the beginning of time. So you got already had that plan. So it's not that he changed partway through. He knew he had to establish things one way to get a result of what he wanted to see. Amen. Praise God. So at any rate, so I'm seeing this vision, and all of a sudden, I realized about it was that it was the end of the storm, it was the end of the darkness, it was the end of the night, or however you want to look at it, but the sun going down was representing that. But the sun going down also represents the idea that there will be something new coming. Amen, because the sun's going down, but we know it's going to come back up again. Amen? And so so I had that understanding, and then I came across this scripture a few days later. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned. Hallelujah. You see, what this scripture is talking about is how people were once in darkness, and God wasn't okay with his people staying in darkness. And so he sent us to come as carriers of the light. Amen. That's what this church was planted for. That's why God always plants churches. It's not just this church. If God plants a church, there's a reason for it. And the reason is because the people were sitting in darkness. And he wanted, see, God doesn't want people to not know. God always wants people to know. That's why we've said it before and we'll say it again. If you've ever said, and I used to say it, the Lord works in mysterious ways, don't say it. It's foolish. God doesn't work in mysterious ways. He always shows us. He always gives us a principle. He always gives us a way of knowing what he wants to do. God isn't mysterious. He has revealed himself to us. In fact, Jesus was God in the flesh. He sent God. He sent himself to the earth, in other words. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Meaning he's come to earth to show us what God was like. God ain't hiding from us. But see, there's principles we have to enact in order to get in there. And so I'm talking today about what will you do with it. See, because the thing is that there's a temptation in people that once they get their help or once they get their salvation, once they get where they thought they needed to be, then they start coasting. But see, God doesn't want us to coast. God wants to take us higher. And again, that's why we preach these messages on Friday nights and we have the moves of the Spirit. It's all about taking us higher into the next flow. We want to get into what God has. We want to understand what His Spirit is saying, because then by doing so, we'll be able to move effectively with God. Amen? And so we'll be able to walk that plan out that He has for us. But it does not come without understanding. And we need to understand that. You know, in the King James Version, it says, light has sprung up. I love that. I love that. That light has sprung up and it's just sprung upon them. Praise the Lord. That light, all of a sudden, it's just there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes that's how it's going to work. That's how I believe it'll work in Corey. That's how it's going to continue to work in Mayville. This work isn't complete. This work has only got started. Amen? So God is doing some great things, but it's important for us to decide, what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with Jesus? What are we going to do with this newfound salvation? You see, because here's the thing is, you can get something, but you can also lose it. Amen? Anyone ever get a new car? Anyone ever had a real nice car? Praise the Lord. Have you ever lost your car keys? Without the car keys, it ain't going to work. Amen? But the same thing is with the flow of God. If you lose the thing, if you lose the important part, then you lose the flow of God. A car is worthless without the keys. Now, I have a good friend who lives in Fredonia, lost his car keys. For 2 weeks, he didn't have car keys. And guess what else he didn't have? A vehicle that moved. He had the vehicle. It was there for him all the time, but he didn't have the keys. He didn't have the way of turning it on and putting it in drive and going. It was worthless to him. Yeah. So you could have the most expensive car in the world. You could have I don't know what the most expensive car is, but you could have something like a Rolls Royce or a something more expensive than that. I don't know, whatever, those top-end cars. You could have anything like that, but if you don't have a way of connecting, amen? And so the people of God, this is what they don't realize, is that the flow of God doesn't just continue unless we stay connected to it. If we lose if we lose those first works, if we lose that love, if we lose that desire, if we lose, you know, when you come in and you see that God is changing you and you see that God is working, and that's exciting, praise the Lord. But we can't lose that excitement. We can't lose that drive, that desire to be in everything that God has us to be in, amen? We got to get into that more. We want to grow in the desire, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What are we going to do with it? Isaiah 119, just go ahead and look up here. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen. If you are willing, okay, so first you have to have willing. You have to be willing. That's sometimes that's a hard thing to get people willing. What is willing? I'm going to talk to you about willing. If you have aspirations of ministry, I'm going to talk to you about what willing is. Willing is that you put down everything that you like, that you care about, that you want. You're willing to put it all down and not pick it up again. I'm not just saying, oh, I'll do this for a show. It means that you're willing not to pick it up again. Yeah. And see, that was my training. My training, if I subjected most people in my church to my training, I wouldn't have a church. I'm serious. Because I had to be put through that test to see, what was I willing? Was I willing to put down my feelings to do the plan of God? But you see, I knew what the plan of God was. The plan of God for my life was to walk out that ministry. The plan of God for my life was to do everything that God wanted me to do. And so that meant if I was going to do everything that God wanted me to do, I had to be willing to do whatever it took to get there. So when things were taken away from me, I had to be okay with that. Now you understand that God doesn't remove things but for a time. But see, when you're in the moment, sometimes it doesn't feel so good. You know, there's people that have talents. I talked to you before. I can draw pictures. I used to love to draw. I drew constantly. That's what I did. I haven't drawn a picture in years now, pretty much. I mean, just doodled once in a great while, but nothing of any substance. I had to be willing. There was a time in my life that I actually cried at the thought of having to put that down. That's how important it was to me. It was everything to me. It was my life It was the way, it was my breath. Everything in my life was based around that, seriously. That's what how important it was to me. And yet I had to be willing to put it down. See, talent doesn't mean anything. Maybe you can talk real good. Maybe you can preach real good. Maybe you got the gift of gab. Maybe you can stand up in front of people and get lives changed. Hallelujah. Yeah. But see, if you want to follow the plan of God, you have to be willing to put your desire down. Wow. Yeah. What if God has given you the ability to preach the most magnificent sermon in the world, but at the same time also told you, I want you to clean toilets for the rest of your life? Are you willing? See, it matters what you're willing to do. It's not about what you'll do for a time. And see, this is another thing that people think. You know, Pastor Michael often said, faithfulness is not proven in days, weeks, or months. Faithfulness is proven over years. Jesus tested people over years. Jesus was tested over years. We will be tested over years. See, if you want to walk into a family church, man, I'm not talking about, I don't know why I'm talking about this, because, you know, I don't necessarily sense that there's a ton of family church, future family church ministers in here. But I'm just talking to you about what the plan of God entails is a willingness, amen? It's a willingness to get into everything that he has to be. What do you want? What do you got to do? Maybe it's you got to disconnect from somebody. Maybe it's you got to connect with somebody you don't want to. Maybe it's you got to, whatever it is, hallelujah. Maybe you got to give up Friday nights for the rest of your life. Maybe you got to give up Saturday nights for the rest of your life. Maybe you got to do whatever it takes. Maybe you can never do that thing again, that one thing that you just love. But see, there's willingness. And I'm not talking about, like, God is not telling us that we have to just, that God is going to, I don't want to give you that impression. And see, this is what people do, is they take these ideas, these principles out of Scripture, and they twist it, and they say, see, God just wants to remove from you. But that's not what God's doing. See, God will let you have what he'll let you have. There's things that God will let you have that will bless you, praise the Lord. You'll be more blessed by the things that he'll let you have that you've proven faithfulness than you ever could by what you hang on to. But see, there are some things that we will have to put down forever, or at least for this life. And that's not so bad, because this life is only, give or take, a few years. I mean, when you think about it, it's not that long. I mean, the next phase, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus on earth that we'll be partaking of is much longer than this life. And part of how we live there is established by what we do here. So why wouldn't we want to prepare for that? Amen? See, this is the problem with, the society is that we have a society where they want everything now. They want everything quick. They want it right now. They can't wait for it. See, when you look at people who gain, you know, you look at somebody who invests great amounts of money and they make great amounts of money. It very rarely happens overnight. It usually happens over being faithful with money over time. And see, that's part of a problem that we have in our society, and that I want to bring up to you even, is that there's this whole idea that of this wealth redistribution, which is actually wrong, because what it's doing is it's taking money a lot of times out of people who have good work ethic and good character and want to put it in people that don't have good work ethic and don't have good character. There's people who won't be faithful with $10. I'm telling you, I have known dirt poor. I was one of them. I was dirt poor and I was terrible with money. So why would I deserve more money? I couldn't use the little bit of money I had wisely. I was dumping it on stuff. I was dumping my money. I had barely any money, and what little I had, I was dumping on booze and and cigarettes and drugs and all that kind of things. And here I am. I'm wanting more. I want to believe God for more. Yeah. And the whole time, I'm just throwing money away. Yeah. You see, what my point is that there's this mentality in our country of not being right with money, and then when you're not right with something, then they want to take what other people have. It's just, and everybody, because there's so much poverty in this country, people are like just grabbing onto this. Like, it's so, why does this matter? Because it's not a principle of God. See, God will create wealth in people. God's word always creates wealth. If you do God's word, and we haven't even got through this whole scripture yet. I can't get past willing. Praise the Lord. But what's that whole last second part, the whole other line? It's even longer than the other one. You shall eat the good of the land. It says you shall eat the good of the land. That's a guarantee. When the Bible says shall, it's a guarantee. So why aren't people doing it? Because they're not doing willing and obedient. See, if you want to be willing and obedient, then you shall eat the good of the land. But if you aren't going to be willing and obedient, you ain't going to eat the good of the land. So don't go crying to God. Say, Lord, why isn't your word working? He's like, you're not working my word. What will you do with it? Here's the word. What are you going to do with it? I wrote it out for you. I spelled it out. I said, this is what, if you're willing and obedient, and that's the second part, obedient. See, you can be willing. You say, hey, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Praise the Lord. But what happens when it's time to be obedient to that? Glory. What happens when all of a sudden it's time? And see, we are building more spiritually. Like, you know, this sounds like a good Sunday morning message, Pastor Jeff. This isn't. But see, here's the thing. This is how you build spiritually. If you want to build spiritually, you first take care of the natural. You can't be a natural slob and expect God to bless you spiritually. Because God can't live in slobbery. Do you know what I'm saying? God can't live in slobbery. I had to clean my act up. Praise the Lord. I lived in squalor. You can't live in squalor and be blessed by the Lord. Why? Because God is a God of order. He's a God of order. He set things in order. He wants things set in order. And if you don't live in order, God can't work in you. And people are so out of order in all kinds of things in their life. They're out of order in relationships. They're out of order in parent-child relationships. They're out of order in child-parent relationships. Older, you know, in older generations or whatever. They're out of order in all kinds of different things. Praise the Lord. They want the blessing of the Lord, but they have to remember that there's willing and obedience that comes with it. See, why do some people come in and get changed real quick, and why do some people not? The difference is who did the word and who didn't. The difference is who's willing and obedient. Praise the Lord. I've got some people. We've got some people in here. Some great examples of people and different things. No, nobody's perfect in everything. But you know, there's people that come to us and they're like, you know, we want to be right with the word, and we see this here. We hear you preaching this, so we want to be right about it. And so they take upon themselves to do that, and watch how the Lord blesses their lives. Watch what the Lord does. You're going to look at them in a year, and you won't. And people will be like, well, why did they? Because they did the word. Because they were willing and obedient. Praise the Lord. And see, this also happens. This is the other thing about this, is that willing and obedience happens with every subject there is. So you maybe you could be willing and obedient in your finances, but not willing and obedient in your love walk. Praise the Lord. And so you lose out because you're not willing and obedient. You see, we have to do the word. Are you willing to do whatever you need to do? Does it matter to you to do what the plan of God is over what your own plan is? Praise the Lord. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. And see, there's good stuff in here. There's stuff, this is more of one of those messages, more teachery and stuff. But, you know, God has got to establish things in us. Amen. Before he can, he's got to clean out the bad stuff. He's got to establish good principles in us before he's going to take us anywhere. Amen? But here's the greatest part of this, is by doing these things, the good of the land. That's what's at stake. The good of the land, hallelujah. Who wants to be eating the good of the land? You know what the good of the land is? We lived in Jamestown. We came up to Mayville. That's the good of the land. Amen? Oh, it's so much nicer living up here. You can say whatever you want about Mayville, but I'm going to tell you what, you go live in Jamestown for a few years, then come back and talk to me. I'm telling you, it's the good of the land. Hallelujah. You go around the countryside out here, and you see some of these properties, these sprawling properties, hallelujah, and these, you know, and these nice houses, and they got all the amenities in them. That's the good of the land. You hear what I'm saying? That's the good of the land. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Yeah. Go into Chautauqua Institution. There's a good of the land in there. There ain't no lack in there. That's what I love about places like that. See, we shouldn't get mad about things like that. I don't get anybody in this area that lives in the Mayville area that's mad about Chautauqua. You know why? Because of Chautauqua. This is a perfect example. Praise the Lord. Can I go there, Lord? I wanted to go down a different road, but I'm going to, you know, no, you know what? I'm going to say it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to say it anyways. This stinking liberal thinking. Amen? This thinking that is just off. And I'm not talking about political party as much as I'm talking about just a mindset, praise the Lord, of constantly hating the wealthy. New York State is a perfect example of liberal policies that have gone wrong over and over and over. Look at where we live in. Oh, we've been run by these ideals. These ideals of take what high taxes, praise the Lord, take what you can from those who have, and then just give free to anybody who doesn't have. That's a perfect example. That's why the state in California is the same way. That's why they're like that. No, you could argue with it all day long. But the reason I'm bringing this up is this. Because I've heard people around here complain about Chautauqua Institution. Mayville has the lowest taxes in Chautauqua County. And you know why? Because of Chautauqua Institution. See, wealth doesn't take away from people. It helps people. I said wealth helps people. When people who are, because people generally who are wealthy, I mean, you have examples of people, you have examples of people who are wealthy that just inherited money and no good. We see idiots like that out there, you know. You see examples of that out there in the news and stuff like that. But you know something? What you don't see, honestly, what you don't see is you don't see the self-made billionaires. You don't see them on the news. You don't see them, those ones, the ones, the businessmen who, you know, people, it's the same thing. People hate Wall Street. They have all this anti-Wall Street stuff. Listen, without Wall Street, we wouldn't have an economy. What is wrong with people? The church has just jumped in line with this kind of thinking. It's stupidity to get mad at people who are making money for this country because that is exactly how we have everything we have. Why do you think we aren't a third world country? Because we don't live like a third world country. But they're trying to make us live like a third world country. Why do I get off on all this? How does this have anything to do with the word? Because the Bible tells us that God made the gold and he said that the gold was good. He said the gold was good. God made the gold. God made wealth. God was all about wealth. God said to Solomon, because you've done right by me, he said, you ask me for anything you want, and I'll give you anything you want. And Solomon said, give me wisdom, Lord. He said, give me wisdom. So you know what the Lord said? He said, because you asked me for wisdom and not wealth and not riches, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you the richest man that ever lived. Praise the Lord. I said, that's what God's word says. See, God doesn't like poverty. God is not. Why do you think that one of the things that Jesus of Nazareth was anointed to do was preach the gospel to the poor? Why do you think that is? Because when the gospel is preached to the poor and then the poor start getting willing and obedient, guess what happens? They're not poor no more. You can't stay poor and be in the will of God. You cannot be poor and be in the will of God. Now listen, I'm not saying that everybody's going to drive a Mercedes. That doesn't necessarily mean that. But heck, I'm going to tell you about there was a time in my life when I've been just happy just to be able to put gas in my car, to pay my bills on time. Yeah. Praise the Lord. To me, I'm going to tell you, and that is wealth. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How do we get on all that? God is good. Amen? Yeah. Ephesians 2. Go ahead and turn there. 2:1. Praise the Lord. See, God's taking us somewhere. He wants to take us higher. But see, we can't think the way the world thinks. We can't do things the way the world does things and then expect it to work. Because God gets mad at that kind of stuff. He's fed up with this kind of stuff. Why? Because all it does is remove from people. Poverty mentality, all it does is remove from people. I said, all it does is remove. That's why I love sometimes going to areas like Tulsa or California, because it biggers my thinking. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, sometimes I get, I'm thinking about like raising $50,000 just to finish this building. $50,000, and I go to Oral Roberts University, and they got this prayer tower that had to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't know what it cost, and you know it's just there. The same God that's God out there is the same God that's God here. Praise the Lord! It biggers your thinking. See, and sometimes we need our thinking biggered. Well, praise the Lord. Ephesians 2:1, and you He made alive. Woo! He made you alive. You see, you're sitting there looking like you're dead, and God said He made you alive. He made you alive. Alive. That means there's things flowing through you. That means you're still able. As long as you're alive, you can get up and do. Praise the Lord. You don't have to be laying down. You don't have to be defeated. As long as you draw a breath, you can get up and do something. You don't have to be where you were. Praise the Lord. And you He made alive. I said He made you alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, praise God. You see, this is why we talk about sin. This is why we got to look at sin. This is why we got to preach about sin. We got to be a church that ain't afraid to talk about sin. I said to my wife on the way down here, I said, I hope we're not one of those churches where sin is comfortable. If you're sinning, I want you to start, you know, I just want you to be twisting in your seat, you know. Why? Because I do. Amen. When the preacher starts preaching about something that I'm not doing right, I sit there and, you know what I mean? But ouch, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's be okay with it. We don't want to be okay with sin. Let's be okay with having our toes stepped on. Why? Because you were dead in your trespasses and sin. You were dead in it. You weren't alive, but he's made you alive. So don't live like you're dead. If you were made alive and you live like you're dead, then you're the fool for doing that. Why? Because he made you alive. If he made you alive. Go back to the verse 1. Praise the Lord. If he made you alive, look at that. He made you alive. Then why do you live like you're dead? Praise the Lord. Live. Listen, we got to think about what alive is. Sometimes we get so caught up in just the everyday, day to day, this and that, that we don't think about what it means to be alive. Oh, that baby is so stinking cute. Look at her back there. She's saying, good word, Pastor. Hallelujah. She even had a hand up there. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love babies. He's made you alive. But people, as long as you have breath in you, you can move. You can do something. You can stand up. You can go one more day. You can go through one more thing. Praise the Lord. It's those who give up. It's those who just say, well, you know, I'm good as dead. How many sick people have done that? You know, I love my sister Cindy over here. I love you because I love seeing the faith in you. She's gone through, and many of you know she's gone through, I hope you don't mind me mentioning that, but she's gone through over the past year or so, or more than a year, she's gone through some struggles, attacks on her body, cancer, and all different kinds of things that go along with it. All these attacks. But you know what? Every time I talk to her, she's talking about being, they say whatever they want, but I'm going on. She's not curling up and dying. She's like, no, wait a minute. Jesus didn't die so I could just be sick and defeated. And so I'm not going to accept it. So she's pressed through. See, that's faith. That's what faith does, is it presses through. Praise God. It doesn't stop. Until you take your last breath, it doesn't stop. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because he made you alive. You were dead in sin. So don't go back to sin and trespasses. Don't go back to that stuff. All that stuff that the Bible says is bad, it says it's bad for a reason, because it causes death in your life. You don't want the death. You don't want the death in your finances. You don't want the death in your family. You don't want the death in your relationships. You don't want the death in your marriage. You don't want death. Who wants death? Anyone okay with death? Anyone said, hey, death sounded pretty good to me today. I'm going to get up tomorrow. I'm going to eat me a big bowl of death. I'm going to suck down that death. But people are doing that all the time. Well, praise the Lord, Christian sippers. They're sucking down death all the time. Yeah. Have whatever you want. You can do it. I'm not judging you. You can still come to this church if you drink. But all I'm telling you right now is it leads to death. Yeah. It's sin and death. Yeah. So if you want sin and death reigning in your life, if you don't want to be alive in Christ, then just continue in sin and death. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, now you can go to verse 2. I had enough of that one. Whew. Just got just about all we could get out of that, praise the Lord. At least for today, we get more out of it some other time, though. In which you once walked, according to the course of this world. See, this is what we, Christians, this is what we have to know right here. If the world's doing it, don't. If the world practices it, don't. You ain't got to be super smart. You ain't got to have it all figured out. You don't have to know 50 million scriptures. There ain't 50 million scriptures, but you don't have to know them all. All you got to know is look at what those fools are doing and do the opposite. Yeah. Don't do what they're doing. If you want different results, then you got to do something different. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Good people die all the time. Why? Because they don't think to do things right. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who dies by their own accord or their own fault. But they do die as a result of sin. The Bible tells us that sin causes death. It's sin that works death in us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just had a great discussion this week. Somebody was asking me about how can God send someone to hell who is a good person? And this was a legit question. I've had this 1,000 times and never been able to answer it as well as I did because the Holy Ghost came on me and helped me answer it this week perfectly. But they said, how can God send somebody who out there, they're living good life, they're being pretty decent people, they just haven't accepted Jesus? How can God send someone like that to hell? But then you can have a rapist and murderers who can go to heaven. And I said, well, first of all, rapists and murderers, people who are practicing those things, they can't get to heaven. The Bible's very clear about that. Yeah. But secondly, God doesn't send nobody to hell. I said, God, don't send anybody to hell. Listen, you are born on your way to hell. Everybody who is born, why? Because we're born into sin, because sin entered the human race. We're born into sin, not because God designed it that way, but because Adam transgressed, and we all continue to transgress. So we are born into sin, therefore we are going to hell. God is not sending anyone to hell. What did God do? He sent Jesus to the earth to stop that process of taking you to hell. He put a big old stoplight for in your trip to hell. You had your bags packed, you were on your way, the family loaded you up, hey, let's go, praise the Lord. But God sent Jesus. See, God isn't sending anyone there. People are already going there. And see, that's what people fail to understand. It isn't about God picking and choosing. No, why is God not being choosy? Because God wants everybody there in heaven. Yeah, if someone who did the most horrible things, if they truly repent and receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, they can go to heaven. Why? Because God is not willing that any man should perish. The Bible tells us that. Well, praise the Lord. So we just got to know how to answer right. But see, we won't know how to answer right if we don't know how to see right. And if we don't know how to see right, well, praise the Lord, we're going to lead people astray. And that's how the church has gotten to where it's gotten to. That's why, because people are more interested in their denomination. Listen, I'm not against denominations in the sense that I'm against those people or what, you know, churches or anything like that. I'm not trying to close down churches. But what I am against is religious thinking. Because religious thinking is stinking thinking. Religious thinking is bad thing. There's no good that comes out of it. Praise the Lord. God wants people free. He wants people doing in the plan of God. He wants people full. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, those who aren't obedient. Oh, glory. Do you remember, see that connection in the one scripture we brought? If you were willing and obedient, what are you if you're not obedient? Disobedient. Well, who's working in you then? The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil, if in case you didn't know. The devil is working in those who are disobedient. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Is it because God's trying to take away? But if you're disobedient, you're allowing the devil in, and therefore he's running amok in your life. Among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. This here points to the same thing I was just talking about with that salvation stuff. Is it, see, just because you think that they're good, your idea of good is not God's idea of good. Your idea of good, just because you think, well, you know, I didn't murder. I mean, I stole, or I lied, or I hated somebody, but I didn't kill them. But see, God sees killing and hating is the same thing. God doesn't distinguish it between them. God has a lot to say about homosexual sin, but he also has a lot to say about heterosexual sin, too. He doesn't distinguish between them. A sin's a sin. Praise the Lord. Sin is sin is sin is sin. Glory. Praise the Lord. And we're by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God. Everyone say, but God. But God. See, I love the but gods. I love the Bible buts. Here's one of them. But God, who is rich in mercy. Praise the Lord. Who is rich in mercy. Is rich in mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we didn't deserve it, even when we were, all those murderers that are going to hell, all those people that went to hell, God loved them. Because he wasn't loving us just because we were saved. He died for us when we were yet sinners. He loved us before we were saved. He's looking down on the earth and he's seeing people do these horrific things and he's saying, I love them anyways. And people are thinking, well, God, how could you love that person? Well, don't you love people that do bad things in your life? Have you ever loved somebody who was maybe a child that was nasty to you? Or a parent that was nasty to you? Didn't you love them anyways? You might not have liked them, but you loved them. I'm not saying that God approves of everything. He didn't look down at Hitler and say, oh, good job there, sonny. But he did love him. Absolutely he loved him. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, if the church would just understand where their seat is. Hallelujah. If you knew where your seat was, then you wouldn't be all worried about stuff all the time. Because if you knew you were sitting right next to Christ Jesus, you were right there with him. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ. He defeated the devil and all the powers of the enemy. Nothing by any means will hurt you. The Lord Jesus said this himself, and then he said, here, sit next to me, just in case you didn't chairs. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, if we're watching a movie or something, there's something a little bit scary in it. You know what my daughter does? She, like, snuggles up right next to you. You know what I mean? Because she trusts you. You know what I mean? Like me or her mom or whatever. Well, Jesus is doing the same thing. He said, here, just why do you think he sat us next to him? He didn't have to sit us next to him. He could have sat us in front of him, and we would have just... This is what people understand. He could have put us in front of him, and we would have been just as saved. We would have had just as much power. But he didn't say it was enough that I'm going to take this dirt bag, really, because that's what we were. He took this dirt bag and just put him out there in the office. He said, no, you come sit next to me. You come sit right next to me. Why? Because when something's scary, guess what? You just cuddle. You just nuzzle right in. There was a thunderstorm the other night. My mom has a little miniature wiener dog. It's like those party wieners. What are those little, you know what I mean? They're like not a big hot dog, but they're the little one. But there was a thunderstorm, and she was all worried, you know, and so she got under the covers, and that's where she went. My mom was telling me about this today. But, you know, that's the same thing. Jesus has put us right next to him to just know. There's comfort in knowing that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. But the church forgot about this. Christians forgot about this. The trouble rises up in your life, and they're like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? They forget where they're seated. I said, they're forgetting where they're seated. Well, praise God. Where are we? Verse 6. And raise us up. Okay, we read that. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, that was the time afterwards, the world afterwards, after he saved us. This is why he seated us in heavenly places. Because he wanted to show, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So this period of time should be, this is the period of grace. This is where he said, okay, I'm going to show you what I'm all about. Hallelujah. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You're not saved unless you have faith in it, right? Praise the Lord. For grace you've been saved, but through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Well, see, well, there you go. Why do we got to do anything? Because we're not saved by, because see, Jesus isn't okay with us just being saved. He wants us to be victorious. What are you going to do with what he brought you? He planted a church in this town to do certain things. So everybody who connects to this, yes, you come in and have your life changed. But what are you going to do with that? Was it just enough for you to have the church planned so you could just get yourself self-fixed and you don't want to give any gratitude? Well, then I have to question whether you ever got saved. You see, I've never been blessed by somebody and thought, you know, well, I'll just take it and just forget about you. No, we shouldn't live that way, amen? For by grace you've been saved through faith, is not a gift, not of yourselves, we read that, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10, because of all that, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. This is why you got saved. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I said, you should walk in them. God wants us to walk in them. He's intended for us to walk in them. That Christians don't is not God's fault, it's theirs. Praise the Lord. You need to stir yourself up. You have to look at your own life and you have to see. Sometimes it gets a ho-hum, you know, just life is life and you're just living life and you forget about this and that and you get busy with this and busy with that. But our focus is on Christ and what he's doing and what he's done and what he wants to do. We need to be reaching forward into those things. Why? Because the willing and obedient, they eat the good of the land. I said, they eat the good of the land. Those are the ones, listen, the ones who do these works, the ones who base their lives around what Christ wants them to do, who truly want that change and then live after him. These are the ones who eat the good of the land. Listen, the good of the land, I pointed out what the good of the land is. And see, this is the funny thing. All the stuff that I pointed out is not even close to what God has prepared. It's not even close to what he prepared. You know, you're worried about your mortgage being paid, and what you don't realize is you're worrying so much about your mortgage being paid, you're so distracted by that that you forget that God has a work for you to do, and you don't realize that if you just did what he told you to do, your mortgage would just be paid for. Yeah. I said it'd just be taken. It took me years to learn this principle. We don't look at our, we look at our finances, but we don't worry about it at all. Why? It's just taken care of. Everything he calls us to do, we'll do it. Why? Because God is good and we're after him, and that's, he said he would do it, and he's doing it. Praise the Lord. But sometimes people just don't get that. They sit there and they're like, you know, because in the Bible tells us that the devil brings persecution for the word's sake. Yeah. We preach a word like this to you, and then you go out there and praise the Lord. You might be excited for a minute, but as soon as something rises up in your life, you get distracted. Yeah. It's the distractions that get people. Yeah. God put light in this town so that lives could be changed. And then what are we focused on? What are we focused on? Where are we focused? And I'm not saying that people are bad, not focused right. I'm just saying that we have to constantly point ourselves back in the right direction. We have to constantly change our course or course correct. We got to constantly do it. Like, this is living. This is fighting the good fight of faith. This is what living is all about. Constant course correction. I do it all the time. I was doing it this week. Yeah, Reverend Grew was up there preaching, and the whole time, I mean, half the time I'm sitting there apologizing to the Lord, repenting. I'm serious. I was repenting for what I knew I was supposed to do and I didn't do. See, because there's always things. So we just course correct. We don't have to be in condemnation and bondage over it. No, don't get like that. You just course correct. Course correct. Praise the Lord. GPS don't yell at you when you get off, does it? It just course corrects. It's like, all right, you didn't want to go down that road. You didn't want to take that right. All right, just drive down a little bit further, take a left, swing back around. Praise the Lord. She never yells at me. I love her for that. I do. I use the GPS a lot this week. Well, I started to. Well, I did a little bit because when I had to find something. Tulsa is really easy to drive around, though. They number everything. You either count up or count down. That's it. That's all you do. You get to where you want to go. But if you need to know where something is, you know, and then you throw it in the GPS. And I did a couple times. Like, oh, I was supposed to turn there, and I didn't. She didn't say it. She didn't come on and say, you know, you're such a jerk. You're so terrible. Every time I tell you to turn, you don't ever turn. You always go the way you want. She doesn't do that at all. She said, course correct. And guess what? If I listen to the course correction, I go right back to where I was supposed to go. I eventually get there. She even gives me options sometimes. Does she? Like, you go this way, it takes 26 minutes. This way, it takes 18 minutes. But if you want to take 20 minutes, go this way. Yeah. God's the same way. He's always course correcting us. He's saying, just look to me. God's the same way. You think GPS was some man's idea. It was God's idea. He's like telling us something. Look at what I'm telling you to do. He's like, listen, you got off. You're so far over here. I thought I could never come back to God. I was so far off. He still made me a pastor. There's sometimes I'm a pastor and I think I shouldn't be a pastor. Not because I'm living wrong. You know what I mean? But like I get off course a little bit. And he just points me back in the right direction. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He's a sweet voice GPS. The God positioning system. I think I preached a message on that once. And that's exactly what the Holy Ghost is. That's why we don't get afraid of the Holy Ghost. We get excited for the Holy Ghost. He'll lead us right. He'll say, hey, go down this road. He say, yeah, I told you not to do that. But now if you go this way, you'll get fixed. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we made bad financial decisions. Bad financial decisions where we're before God repenting. Lord, we're sorry, but now we're in a heap of mess, God. You got to get us out. You know what he said? Sure. Just take a right up here. Take a left down here. Yeah, it might take you a little bit longer to get there. Yeah, see, this is the thing. It's better to listen the first time because it'll take you right there. But if you don't listen the first time, God will correct it if you're willing and obedient. See, willing and obedience doesn't just come in one day. It doesn't have one-time thing. This is what everybody thinks. They're like, listen, you could tithe for the next 50 years, but then you could stop 50 years from now and still walk out of the plan of God. All that 50 years was for nothing. Yeah. You could serve God for 20 solid years, doing everything that you possibly could for him, then walk away from him on the 21st year, and that 20 years was for naught. Yeah. Yeah. See, people don't understand that. Willing and obedience is an everyday thing. See, I didn't get here because I'm perfect. I got here because I'm willing and obedient. I'm obedient. I'm willing to course correct. I'm willing to go back. I didn't get here because I'm perfect, because I could talk so good, because I was so smart, because I had everything figured out. He didn't do any of that in me. In fact, he sent me out when I had nothing figured out. In fact, by the time we got sent out, I had been brought to the point in my understanding of my spirituality that there's no way I should pastor a church. That is what qualified me. See, if you think that you're qualified for something, that's the first sign that you're probably not. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to tell you right now. I am humbled all the time pastoring. Why? Because I know I can't do this without God. But see, what I do know is when the Holy Ghost comes in, listen, I ain't talking down about myself because I'm just telling you the truth. But I'm going to also tell you this, that when the Holy Ghost comes upon me, I can be the best pastor in the world. Why? Not because of my ability, because his ability is on me. And as I follow that, as I do that, then everything works out hunky-dory. Hunky-dory. It's smooth as silk, glory to God, like French silk. You know how smooth that is? Smooth as ganache. I like ganache. Hallelujah. I like some ganache right now. Hallelujah. Smooth. It's just smooth. See, smooth sailing. God's road is smooth. Praise the Lord. That's what he meant when he said, my burden, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. What did he mean by that? He means if you listen to me, if you do what I say, you won't go through all the garbage that you were going to otherwise. It's the truth. Just listen to me and do what I say. Praise God. Most times people's issues, most times people's problems are simply because they're not doing what God has showed them to do. Yeah. This is what my job is always pointing people back to the Word. What did the Lord show you to do? What did the Lord tell you to do? How did the Lord tell you to do this? Listen, I'm not coming down here because I go to my pastor for the same thing. I do. I go to my pastor all the time. And I'm like, well, pastor, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Why? Because he's more knowledgeable than me in those things. He has the Spirit. He's got the anointing to do that. He's my pastor. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Oh, praise the Lord. I was going to get into this in my other message. I'll just get into it a little bit now. You know, here's the thing. If we're truly a church that's led by the Spirit of God, we have to consider what that means. I said we have to consider what that means. So people come to me. I've had people do this. I had someone come to me, and they're like, all these kinds of ideas for me of what I should be doing. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, how many churches did you pastor? Yeah. How many churches did you pastor? How many times did you sacrifice for that? You know, I had someone, they're not here now, and I'm not going to describe them or anything like that, but they came to me, and they all these things that I should be doing. And the truth is, and the person's not even here anymore. So why should I listen to that person? Like, listen, I'm doing it led by the Lord, so it's being successful. It's not successful because I'm doing it. You understand? It's successful because I'm doing it the way the Lord leads. That's the difference between a church that grows and a church that don't grow, is doing what God says. If you do it, listen, God makes it so easy that even a dummy like me can get up here and do it. Praise the Lord. I'm serious. I didn't have any qualifications that anyone pointed me and said, you should be pastor. Nobody looked at me when Pastor Tim announced that I was going to be pastor. Nobody looked at me and said, everybody was surprised. They didn't look and say, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. I mean, a few people may have had an inkling, but most people were shocked by it. Why? How come? Willing and obedience. Had nothing to do with qualifications. I don't care how good you can speak. It doesn't matter. I go right down the list. There's a list of mighty men and women of God who couldn't speak at all. Yeah. In the Bible, Moses couldn't even talk. Yeah. He couldn't talk so much that God had to raise up someone else to talk for him. Yeah. Yeah, yeah! It happened. I'm telling you, it happened. See, God doesn't need you to be able to be educated. He doesn't need you to be smart. He doesn't need you to be well-spoken. He doesn't need nothing from you except for willing and obedience. God will, see, and this isn't just for pastors. Listen, the Bible tells me that I am to be an example in word and doctrine. I am to be an example. That means the things that I do in my life, they are effective for my life. But if you imitate those things, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, as I continue to follow Christ, as I continue. That's why sometimes you will see ministers that we will be connected to. And maybe, and this has happened several times since we've been in the family churches. There was ministers we were once connected to, and we're not anymore so much. Why is that? The Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. They went in a different flow. Yeah. We're not coming down on them. We're not telling them that they need to change, but we're just going in a different flow. So we go in a different direction. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Right. If it's right, amen? So the same thing, follow me as I follow Christ. Do the same things in your own life and they'll be successful. You know, you just be willing and obedient to what God has you do. Some people will never minister a day in their life. Some people are called to be a church funder. Yeah, there'll be people that'll be called into churches to sit in the seats, and they'll come here. They may not do a lot, but they'll be so loaded, and they're called to fund the churches. God needs people like that. He needs people like that in the churches. I'm telling you, pastors love people that are church funders. Yeah. Amen? Sure. Because the truth is most people don't fund the church. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God will make people who want to be church funders, he'll make them so loaded that they can't stop. They won't even know what to do. They'll start funding churches just for the sake of getting money out there. Yeah, because they do right. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I want to keep going a little bit here. 1 Kings, I know we're getting close to like probably wanting to be done, but my wife had a real long introduction today, so. Praise the Lord. So I started at least 3 minutes late. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings 19:19. Go ahead and go there. And while you're turning there, I want to read something to you. In Matthew, don't turn here, just go to 1 Kings 19:19. But in the end of Matthew, he said, Matthew 28, in the end there, 18 through 20, he said, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen? Praise the Lord. He is with you as you go. God is with you as you go. So as you're willing, as you're obedient, as you go, as you do what the Word says, as you do what you're directed to do, as you do when you see when that thing is in your heart and you're like, this is what I have to do, and then you start doing that, hallelujah, that's when God is effective in your life. Amen? So 1 Kings 19:19. And this is when Elijah picks up Elisha. Amen? Now, if you don't know, Elijah was the prophet. Elisha was his the one that was getting mentored. Amen? So verse 19 picks it up. He says, "So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. So here's Elijah is going along, and he finds Elisha. Elisha is just doing his normal life, just living his life, doing what he does. He's plowing the fields. Praise the Lord. That's what he's doing. "Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him," which was symbolic of saying, you know, you're called. The Bible tells us many are called, few are chosen. You can be called, but what you do with that call determines on whether you're chosen. Amen? "So, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to them, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you?'" Do whatever you want to do. This is exactly what I say to people. Do you do whatever you want to do? I'll preach the word, but then do whatever you want to do. Yeah. You do with it, I'll tell you, but you do with what you want to do with it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what he's saying. Same thing. Verse 21, "So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant." Look at what he did here, though. What did he do? He went back to his livelihood. He went back to everything he knew, and he just destroyed it. He was like, "I'm following God. I ain't looking back." And see, if you got something you're going back to, then you ain't looking ahead to God. But see, Elisha had enough sense in him to say, "I'm all done with it. I'm burning it all. Look, I'm building a fire with the wood. I'm feeding the people. Praise the Lord." You know, back in those days, the oxen, those weren't cheap. You know, this is like major John Deere equipment here. I'm telling you, this is big stuff. And he's just like giving it out. Why? Because when the call of God comes on you, it doesn't matter what else is there. It doesn't matter. You don't listen, when the call of God is there to do something, it does not matter what's beckoning to you. It does not matter what you've thought before. It doesn't matter what path you were on. All that matters is what God has called you to do. And see, again, it doesn't have to be a call to ministry. What has God called you to do? Every believer is called to something. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan for each and every one of us. Maybe it's to be the best darn toilet scrubber there is. Well, praise the Lord, then be the best darn toilet scrubber there is. There will be people like that in heaven that will have great reward. You need to be after it. The Bible says that those who hunger and thirst they shall be filled. I love it in the Amplified. It says they'll be completely satisfied. Completely satisfied. There is no, listen, those who hunger and thirst, if you hunger and thirst, you're not just passive about it. If you hunger and thirst, I am hungry and thirsty for the things of God. That's why I keep coming back. No matter how hard it is, no matter what trial comes against me, no matter what the devil tries to throw against me, the reason I keep pressing on is because I am hungry and thirsty. Because I've had a taste of glory, and I'm going to tell you what, I want it all. I'm not okay with just a little bit. You know, I was saying this, this rose up in me this week when I was at these meetings. You know, Dr. Dufresne back in, I don't know, a bunch of years ago when he was here, he prophesied, not knowing what had gone on in this area, he prophesied, he said, what has happened before will happen again, glory to God. Well, what happened here before, if you don't know, in Western New York, there was a great, great, great revival, hallelujah. And there was a power of God fell, and what happened in the Bible tells us that the last great revival is going to be even greater than anything he's ever done. I've had a taste of it. You can go back and read about Charles Finney and some of the things that he did, praise the Lord, and some of the others, but I'm going to tell you right now, I've had a taste of it. I want it all. I said to the Lord when I was there, when it came on me, I started realizing, wait a minute, what God has called us to? God has not called us to be normal. He has not called us to be okay with just lax and having church and then go there on Sundays and then, you know, go do whatever else. No, God wants us to experience His glory in fullness. He wants us to experience His power in the full. He wants us to be so full of it that people can't stay away from us because they want what we got, hallelujah. I can't stand to not have that. I want it all. I'm not okay with a little of it. I don't want just a little. I want this to be the hub of the great revival. I'm not okay with just the fringes of the revival. No, I want it to be happening here. I want the Holy Ghost to be falling in my church. I want the Holy Ghost to be falling in my house, on me, glory to God. I want to be carrying that anointing. Why? Because when you carry the anointing of God, there ain't nothing that can stop you. I said, there ain't nothing that can stop you. There ain't nothing to hold you back. There is no chains that will keep you back. And they'll fall off of you. The devils will run when you walk into the room. And that's exactly what I want. I want the devil to see me coming and take off running because he's so scared because of the power of God that's on my life. Hallelujah. And each and every one of us can carry that anointing if we choose to. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Righteousness. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that's Matthew 5:6, by the way. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness, the doctrine concerning the way in which a man may attain a state approved by God. Integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. That's what those who hunger and thirst for those things that God has for them. Those things that God wants us to walk out, praise the Lord. Let me end with this, Matthew 5:14. Go ahead and turn there. Matthew 5:14. The Word sets us free. The Word sets us free. This is what freedom is, folks. This is what freedom is. This is the freedom from bondage. This is like, no, like, listen, there's depression is bondage. Sadness is bondage. Loss, poverty, all these things, these are bondage. See, what the whole thing is a distraction. Why do you hear so much about poverty in the news? Because the devil knows that if he gets you focused on poverty, then you ain't going to be focused on God. See, if all your needs are met, then you aren't out there campaigning to do all kinds of stupid things. Come up with stupid ways of taking money from people who earned it and giving it to people who didn't. That ain't godly. I'm going to tell you right now. Christians voted for that garbage, and it was garbage. I'm telling you right now. If you voted for that garbage, you voted against God, because God is not against stealing or not for stealing. Yeah. So you got to repent and change your ways. We can't live in that garbage. We can't live in that line of thinking, that thinking where everybody else deserves what somebody made. No, if you do right by God, if you do right in front of God, you will have everything you ever want and more. Yeah, that's the truth, if you believe that. But if you don't, well, don't. But if you don't, you're never going to have it. Praise the Lord. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Oh, glory, Christians. See, things like voting ain't hard when you know that you're the light. Because you don't vote according to what you want. When you do, and I'm not just talking about voting for politics. I'm talking about voting for whatever. Yeah. Voting for what you think is right, what you think is wrong. Is the pastor preaching what's right? How are you going to vote for it? When you're the light, you don't question. You know when you're the light because you know what the word says. The light draws to the light. Listen, if I point to the word and I said this is what the word says, and you can sit there and say, yeah, that's what the word says. And I can see how that means that. Well, praise the Lord. Sooner or later, you just got to give in. I said, sooner or later, you just have to give in. You got to stop. You got to stop just holding on to whatever you think, your ideas. You got to stop being bound because that's what binds you is you. See, the biggest problem in a Christian's life is not the devil. The biggest problem in a Christian's life is themselves. Because what they do is they get into their thought process. They get into their head. They won't think the thoughts of Christ. They won't think the thoughts of God. They want to think what they want to think because it's easier for them to do it. Well, that's the way I always thought. That's the way my parents thought. That's the way my grandparents thought. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can't have a mind of your own, then you aren't worthy, praise the Lord, of having the things that God has for you. If you can't think for yourself, if you can't, God never tells us to think, to not think for ourselves. He wants us to think for ourselves, but He wants us to think correctly. Yeah. And Christians, sooner or later, we got to think correctly. We got to think like the light. How do we do that? By not thinking like the darkness. If you look to the darkness, praise the Lord. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Jesus is telling us something. It's like they don't light a lamp and then hide it. God didn't light that light in you to hide it. He didn't light that light in you to be dark. He light that light in you to shine. Lit that light. Hallelujah. To shine. He lit that light. Glory. So it would shine. Shine, shine. He wants you to shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, praise the Lord. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Put it on a lampstand. But on a lampstand. And it gives light to all. Everyone say all.
All.
Who are in the house. All who are in the house. God has intended us. See, this is what this is talking about. We are to be lights. Praise the Lord. And how do we know that? Because he goes on in verse 16 and he closes with this. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, that's what, when a Christian lives, as a Christian is supposed to live, God gets the glory. When I did when I chose to be obedient, willing and obedient, what happened? Lives started changing, and then people started seeking God. People started coming to God and saying, recognizing that God, why? Because someone was willing and obedient. When my pastor was willing and obedient, I came to that church and saw that, and it drew me in, that willingness and that obedience to do what God said. And I saw the goodness, and I saw the goodness of God and His life. That light shine, His light shined to me, and it drew me in just like a bug to a bug zapper, hallelujah. And oh, I got zapped, praise the Lord. I got zapped real good. I still get zapped real good. I like getting zapped by the Holy Ghost. Getting zapped is good, glory to God. I said it's good. It's so good to get zapped. I love to get zapped by the Holy Ghost. I'm just so glad that I got introduced to that because I was raised in a church, I'm going to tell you right now, where there was no power, that they were more concerned about their 12-minute sermon than they were about the power of God. And you still have churches out there complaining about churches like ours, but guess what? They can just live without. I'm going to let my light shine, and I'm going to have all that God has. Hallelujah. Well, why don't you go there with me? Praise the Lord.